How many real friends do you have? Do you know? How many real friends do you have? I'll give you a simple litmus test to find out whether we have real friends. Think about the most difficult thing you're going through right now. It could be something physical, it could be something emotional, it could be something spiritual. And the question is, whom have you told? Have you shared this with anyone? Because real friends share their struggles with other people, and then they receive support. Well, brothers and sisters and guests, I think some of us have friends. I think a lot of us probably don't. And some of us have relationships that could become great friendships with God's help. And I want to tell you that there are some issues in our lives that God always heals through relationships. So we've got something that we're carrying with us that will only be healed with the help of other people. Now, God, in the first reading today, he gives us a powerful example of what spiritual friendships can look like. It says, Paul and Barnabas returned to Lystra, then on to Iconium and Antioch. There, they strengthened the souls of the disciples and encouraged them to continue in the faith, saying, it is through many persecutions that we must enter the kingdom of God. Now, the two things we want to pay attention to in this text. The first one is that St. Paul founded this Christian community. So he preached them, he probably baptized them, and then when he went away to do another missionary journey, he comes back and he spends time with them. That's the first part. He's spending time with them and he's sharing with them. The second thing, he tells them that we have to enter the kingdom of God through trials and sufferings. And he's not just speaking in the abstract. What is he speaking from? He's speaking from personal experience. Because right before this episode, you know what happens to St. Paul? He gets stoned. He knows what it's like to suffer and go through trials. So this is what it says right before that text. But Jews came there from Antioch and Iconium and won over the crowds. Then they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples surrounded him, he got up and went into the city. So that is amazing. Can you imagine how horrible it'd be to get stoned? They've got these rocks. They're throwing them all at you. You're getting hit all over your body, and it's so bad that he loses consciousness. They think he's dead. But the disciples surround him, and he gets up. So that is the St. Paul who, when he gathers with the disciples, now this is what I always imagine. They're gathering in a room, not many Christians. And he's speaking them, it's through trials and suffering that we're going to enter the kingdom of God. And look at his face. He is cut. He's bruised. He's scraped. He probably has bandages over him. And when I hear him share from his own experience, you know that if I'm in that room, I'm feeling strengthened. Because I say, I want to be more faithful. He's faithful to God. He just got stoned. I want to be more faithful. Makes me want to be tougher. Stop complaining. It puts all of my problems in perspective. And then he reminds me, okay, that's what it means to be a Christian. Persecution is coming. And I am called to love and forgive my enemies. So these early Christians, they would share the difficult things, but they'd also share the joyful things. At the end of the first reading, it says, when they arrived in Antioch, they called the church together and related all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith for the Gentiles. So there's a truth of life. Joy increases when it's shared. You want to increase your joy? Share it. And whenever we have this joy, what do? We naturally share it because it increases. And the same is true with pain. If you have any pain, any suffering in your life, share it, please, because it will decrease. Joy increases when it's shared, and pain and suffering decrease when it's shared. And that is what our Lord is offering us today. Now, one way to grow in this friendship and intimacy is to ask the right questions and then to share from our heart. So we want to share what God is doing in our lives and listen to where God is moving in other people's lives. And I'm going to give you a term for this. This is called devout conversations. This is what the early Jesuits did in the 1500s. They would get together and they would share from the heart to strengthen each other. Now, devout conversations are about asking questions of substance. All of us ask, how are you? Because we're Canadian and we're polite. And that's great. But we can go a step deeper. And I want to give you five examples of what I mean. Number one, how are you doing? You all say, well, because you're polite and you use good grammar. And then I say to you, well, how are things going? How are things going lately? Now, what you want to do is you want to pay attention when someone speaks, when they answer, to the highs and lows. So if someone gives a good answer like, yeah, work is going great, that means God's working there. And what you want to do is you want to say, really, that's great. Tell me more about that, because God's working there. Pay attention also to the lows. If someone says, just had a disagreement with my wife, and then you say, what's new? No, just kidding. You would say, I'm sorry to hear about that. Do you want to tell me anything about that? Because there's a low there, and God's working there. Number two, after Mass, we typically ask each other, how are you doing? How's everything going? And then you can ask a deeper question, just to give someone the chance to share. And you'd say, what did you think about the homily? Now, around here, people will typically say, well, the homily was awesome. And so you'd ask the next question. Well, what was so good about it? What struck you? Because if something struck the person, then God's working there. Number three, this is one of my favorite questions. You say, is there anything happening recently that you're thankful for? As soon as you move to gratitude, you're more perceptive of where God is working. Go to gratitude. Is there anything? I'm just asking you right now, don't answer, but think about it. Is there anything right now you're really thankful for? Number four, one time when I was home from Rome, one summer, Kyle Nielsen, who's another coach of mine, he asked me a very thoughtful question. So we sat down just for 5 minutes. We ran into each other. And he said, well, I guess everyone must be asking you the same question about Rome. How is it going there? So, well, what do you want to talk about? And that was such a relief, because everyone kept on staying with the cliche. How's Rome? How's Rome? How's Rome? And I wanted to go deeper. And so Kyle gave me that chance to share what I wanted to talk about. Number five, one time after Mass, one of our parishioners who had just given birth to her first child, of course, such a beautiful moment, we're having this conversation. And then it occurred to me, it's such a beautiful moment. So I said to her, well, what's the best part about now being a mom? What's the best part about giving birth? And she started to cry. And because she's getting emotional outside, I wasn't going to push her. I said, you can tell me later. And she did. One time after dinner, she said, well, you remember when you asked me? I know now. But it struck her. She said, after the delivery, when they put her son against her chest, I had never experienced that type of joy, that level of joy and love. And I never knew I could experience it. And she said she's so happy to share that, because had I never asked her that question, she would not have zeroed in. She said that was one of the happiest moments of her life. But she needed someone to ask the question. Then she became aware of it. And then she could articulate it. And then her joy increased. Now, these devout conversations, don't ever pressure someone to go too deep if they don't want to. If someone doesn't want to go deeper, don't force it. We're just giving them an opportunity to share what's on their heart. And if they do, listen. And try to sympathize with their joy or sympathize with their pain. Whenever, for example, I meet someone new here, I don't go too deep too quickly. What do I try to do? I just try to welcome them, make them feel at ease. And then I try to get to know, well, what is their interest? Because maybe they'll like Star Wars like I do. And then we'll have something to build on. And please be like St. Paul. Be vulnerable. Share something in your life. All of you have something to share, okay? Every single one of you have something to share. That is why we have testimonies after Mass, because it's a concrete story, very believable, very relatable, about what God has done in my life. We haven't had many lately, but that's why we do it. You can affirm people in ways that I can't. Did you know sometimes when men are struggling, only another man can come and help that person? Same thing with women. Sometimes only a woman can understand and encourage another woman. And with parents, I can't relate as well to you because I'm not a parent in that way. So I need another parent, you, to help those other parents. Now, in this season, we've called it break the silence, break the silence. God is asking us to do what the early Christians did, to be a community where we share our joys and pains and we strengthen and encourage each other. At our leadership summit on April 13th, everyone who was there, I taught them in depth how to have a devout conversation. Now, today, I'm just giving you a preview. And what I'm doing is I'm giving you permission to start having these devout conversations. And my dream for our parish is that if we are called to love like Jesus, that's our vision. If we're called to proclaim Jesus in every circumstance, then we're going to ask loving questions and we're going to share what God has done in our lives. And could I ask you, for the next few weeks, if you greet me after Mass, some of you are very kind. You say hi to me after Mass. Others of you are very evil. And you never say hi to me after Mass. Now, for those of you who do greet me, could I ask a favor, please? Could you ask me a substantive question? I'm giving you a chance to think about it now. What can we ask today to the people in our lives that would give them a chance to share? And by the way, if you do normally greet me after Mass, could I ask another favor? Would you be able for the next few weeks to give other people a chance to greet me so I can just greet everyone once in a while? For the past few months, many of us leaders and I, we've been practicing devout conversations, and there have been many graces. I've seen people come alive. They talk about their grandchildren. They come alive. I see people pinpoint a mission, a passion that God has called them to do. I bring up my problems and people support me. And then I receive greater direction. And I've seen people be strengthened by affirmation. One reason why Alpha and Faith Studies are so powerful is it creates a safe space. At Alpha and Faith Studies, it creates a safe space where we can share our feelings, where we can share where God is moving and our difficulties and joys. And now I'm going to invite one of our sisters forward to share how God has been working in her life, particularly through faith studies and devout conversations, and this is going to strengthen and encourage us.
Good morning. My name is Lita Genosa. I have been a member of St. Anthony's Parish for almost 3 years. I am divorced, and I have two beautiful adult children. I was raised Catholic in the Philippines and continued to go to church when I moved to Canada. Around 10 years ago, I stopped living the life of a good Catholic by missing Sunday Masses, failing to go to confession, not fasting during Lent, and stopped praying. I put my work and family before God. Then, in 2013, I suffered some tragic changes in my life. I lost my job. Then later, my husband and I divorced. I was also accused of stealing, though thankfully I was proven innocent later on. And to top it all off, I suffered a car accident. All of these events made me feel alone, sad, and depressed. I wondered if these tragedies happened because I had been ungrateful to and neglectful of God. So I decided to start seeking God again. A friend of mine suggested that I try St. Anthony's Church, which I did. The moment I walked in, I fell in love with this church. The hospitality members were very welcoming, and the smiles on their faces were so encouraging and inviting. Father Justin's homilies were extremely powerful and inspiring. And the choir was so beautiful and reverent. So in September 2016, I decided to join this parish and now get so much out of Sunday Mass. I heard about the faith studies through one of the powerful testimonies, and I decided to give it a try. I was so glad that I did, because I gained so much knowledge and deepened my faith. I experienced profound changes in my life. I became more humble and set aside my pride. I became more patient and tolerant of myself and others. I am no longer sad and depressed, as I have made new spiritual friends who have been like another family to me. We love and support each other, learn from each other, and have so much fun while learning. Now that my faith in God has been restored, I know that my life will continue to be blessed, and that I can accept anything that comes my way, because, as St. Paul teaches today, suffering is part of the Christian life. That throughout my life, Jesus is always with me, and his grace abounds in every part of my journey. I enjoyed faith studies so much that I have gone through all levels and now look forward to becoming a leader for the next session on May 28. I hope that something I've said might encourage you to join. It could change your life for the better like it did for me. Thank you all so very much, and God is always with us.